from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Shall we rise for our call to worship? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
We may come here for a glimpse of glory. We may come here to get close to Jesus.
And Jesus asks us, can you baptize with my baptism?
We may come here for honor or fame.
But Jesus challenges us to become great, we must serve.
Why are we here?
To drink the cup of fullness of life, to immerse ourselves in Jesus' struggle for justice and peace, to learn how to serve.
Join me in the prayer of the day for this, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our children's time is led by Carla Clennon.
Good morning. Have you all ever wished for anything? A Power Ranger? What did you wish for? A little doll, okay. So we have two people in our Bible lesson today, James and John. And they were brothers. They were with Jesus and his disciples. And one day they told Jesus that they wanted to be just like him. Do you think James and John was going to be just like Jesus? So one said, I want to be on your right hand, and one said, I want to be on your left hand. And Jesus says, do you know what you're asking me? They were asking to be just like Jesus. Well, did Jesus serve everybody? Yes, and James and John did not want to serve everybody. They thought that Jesus was building an earthly kingdom, so they wanted to be servants for just those people that they wanted to serve. But Jesus serves everybody. So sometimes when we make a wish and your wish doesn't come through, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a good wish, but maybe it's not the wish that your parents or your grandparents are wanting for you at the time because they have other things that's going on. Or they don't want you to have it, right? So today, to be like Jesus, what do we have to do? Pray. Do we help serve? We have to be servants. So we're helping everybody. So let's say a little prayer. Dear Father, help us to mean what we say. If we wish we could be more like Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our special music is Stand Up and Bless the Lord by our Good Vibrations Bell Choir.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament scripture from Isaiah is read by Susan Berger. It's followed by the gospel reading from Mark and his sermon, Are You Able to Drink This Cup? By Reverend Maul.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 4 through 12. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his debt, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was all the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he makes himself an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession with the transgressors. Here ends Isaiah, our first reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What is it that you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. And so Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody likes to be the second place, number two in the list. We don't want to be way down in the bottom, at least. In this little one-room country school that I attended up in Wisconsin, softball was always big at recess time. And we chose teams. And the older classes had boys bigger and stronger. And they were always chosen first. And then the others would just hope that they might be chosen next on the list. You never wanted to be the last one to get picked. In our gospel for today, James and John, these disciples of Jesus, did not want to be last. They did not want to be left out or down at the bottom of the list. They come to Jesus. We have something to ask you. Please say yes. Well, what do you want? Okay, he says, when you come into your glory and sit on your throne, Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left. In Matthew's gospel, it is mom who comes with the request, probably at the pleading of her two sons. This is not the first time the disciples were involved in this kind of a question or preoccupation. Not long ago, we mentioned that the disciples did not understand what Jesus was talking about when along the path he was talking of his death and the 3 days later would rise again. And so they just argued among themselves about who among them was the greatest. Now they come with this request. Can we sit with you, one at your right hand and one at your left, in glory? After all, weren't we some of the chosen ones who were able to go with you up that mountain of transfiguration when you were changed and you appeared with Moses and Elijah? Well, what was Jesus' response? He was thinking of the suffering ahead. And he said to them, well, can you drink the cup that I must drink? Oh, we can. It's a piece of cake. Call that youthful optimism. What misunderstanding. They know nothing of what he had in mind or the cost involved. Can you drink the cup? Well, of course. What they had in mind could be quite acceptable for them. They saw the kingdom beginning any day now with Christ as the king. And then the two of them could be the Secretary of State and the Secretary of Treasury. Theirs was a dream. For Jesus, it was reality. What he saw was not a kingdom on earth, but suffering and death and resurrection. He was looking ahead to the throne in heaven. They were only looking for the throne in Jerusalem. See, this can happen not only to the disciples of Jesus, but also into churches. In our consistory, we talk about the amount of time we spend on maintenance versus the time we spend on doing mission or thinking about that. Just ask some of them about that. And I found a rather intriguing listing for congregations who may act a bit like James and John, always thinking here and now and not always thinking beyond. And I'm going to read some of these that were on that list on maintenance or mission. It says, in measuring the effectiveness, the maintenance congregation asks, how many pastoral visits are being made? The mission congregation asks, how many disciples are being made? When contemplating some form of change, the maintenance congregation says, if this proves upsetting to any of our members, we will not do it. But the mission congregation says, if this will help us reach someone on the outside, we will take the risk and do it. Furthermore, when thinking about change, the majority of members in a maintenance congregation says, how will this affect me? The majority of members in a mission congregation ask, will this increase our ability to reach to the outside? When thinking of the vision for ministry, the maintenance congregation says, we will have to be faithful to our past. The mission congregation says, we will have to be faithful to our future. The pastor in maintenance congregation says to the newcomer, I'd like to introduce you to some of our members. In the mission congregation, the members say, we'd like to introduce you to the pastor. Ah, see. When confronted with a legitimate pastoral concern, the pastor in a maintenance congregation asks, how can I meet this need? The pastor in a mission congregation asks, how can this need be met? The leadership style in a maintenance congregation is primarily managerial, where leaders try to keep everything in order and running smoothly. The leadership in a mission congregation is primarily transformational, casting a vision of what can be and marching off the map in order to bring that vision into reality. The maintenance congregation is concerned with their congregation, its organizations and structure, its constitutions and committees, where the mission congregation is concerned with the culture, with understanding how secular people think and what makes them tick. And it tries to determine their needs and their points of accessibility to the gospel. When thinking about growth, the maintenance congregation asks, how many like-minded people live within a 20-minute drive of the church? The mission congregation asks, how many unchurched people live within a 20-minute drive of the church? The maintenance congregation looks at the community and asks, how can we get these people good to support this congregation? Where the mission congregation asks, how can our church support the people? The maintenance congregation thinks about how to save this congregation. The mission congregation thinks about how to reach to the world. Well, maybe those are some things to chew on when we think about our congregation, maintenance or mission. So this cup that Jesus talks about, let's take a look at it. First, there is that cup of suffering. This is suffering that has a redemptive purpose. We see that already in that first reading from Isaiah 53, that suffering servant chapter. That in the end brings joy, but where is Jesus' joy? His joy is in the resurrection, where completed his work of redemption for us. It may cause us to ask and think about suffering. Now, suffering is not a popular thing. We may cringe at the sight of a needle, but Jesus did not wish to suffer. He did it anyway, though. It was not a piece of cake. I mean, to have his body broken and his blood shed. We really feel from Isaiah and that cup of suffering that that suffering is evidence of the brokenness in which we live. Life does not always go along peaches and cream. We ask, you know, why does God do that or allow that? As humans, we try to avoid suffering at all costs. We wish to remain strong. And we may wish to reach the glory of Easter without the suffering of Good Friday. The reality is that because of the brokenness of this world, we will suffer in one way or another as a part of the world. In fact, it may be necessary for the growth points of life and sensitize us to the need for God. Remember, when we suffer, our God is suffering there with us. He too is touched by our infirmities and moved by our suffering, as he was in Isaiah. We suffer when a child is in trouble, and so our God suffers with us. Even suffering can be redeemed and lead to joy again, whether it be in this world or the next. So can you drink the cup that I drink? They did not realize what it was. Next cup we could call the cup of baptism. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? See, baptism still carries with it that imagery of drowning, of death, of burial, as we are joined to death, Jesus' death and resurrection again. And the presence of the cross in our churches also carries with it a visible reminder that we follow the crucified and resurrected Lord. Along with this, Jesus reminded them of another cup as the other disciples were miffed at James and John. There is another cup that we also need to drink, he said, and that's the cup of servanthood. This journey begins in baptism. And if you wish to be great, then you must be a servant of the rest. If you wish to be a servant, then you are to be a slave of the rest. This cup of suffering sends us out to share that sacrifice with others by word and deed. Jesus is saying then that the love model will make you great. James and John was saying that the power model will make you great. Most often the world's model makes so much more sense to us that we do not want to follow just the love model. But remember, Until we give up that love affair with power, we will never discover the power of love. Listen again. Until we give up that love affair with power, we will never discover the power of love. The disciples needed to learn this life of servanthood. They learned this especially after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit sent them out to the world. But other names come to mind who practiced servanthood, like Albert Schweitzer, that learned person, doctor, musician, writer, but one who spent most of his life there in the raising funds to go to mission work to the people with the sweaty jungles of Africa. People he felt were mistreated by his European homeland. Or there's Mother Teresa. Most people know of her servanthood. Dee Jebson, who was a wife of a U.S. senator some time ago, writes that she attended a Capitol Hill luncheon for Mother Teresa. It was really different from some of the sophistication of Washington that she knew. When Mother Teresa entered the room, she was wearing her familiar blue and white habit along with a gray sweater that had seen its better days. And as this tiny woman walked in the room, her bare feet in sandals, the people were amazed and they stood on their feet, tears in their eyes, simply because they were in her presence. She further wrote, it was a paradox. She had reached down into the gutter and loved and given. And she has loved the world and sees as the people that the world sees as unlovable, the desolate, the dying, because they are created in the image of the God she serves. Ironically, seeing nothing for herself, she has been raised to the pinnacle of world recognition and received the Nobel Peace Prize and is a figure known to most people, at least in the Western world, and revered by many of us. She had nothing, and yet in a strange way, she had everything. And we too need reminding of the servanthood role and the power of love. As we walk the path of suffering, we find the power of His love. And this leads to service. As love that does not leave us stagnated or suffering and dying, but in a new hope and resurrection and life. Jesus on this day invites his followers to let such patterns be for their life. A pattern of self-giving and serving be a model of the normal daily living of his people. To serve those who have not yet come to the font or to the table, let their servanthood stance be our stance, and let it be a legacy that we pass on to our children and for generations to follow. In conclusion, we hear some words from a book, Preaching on Mark's Gospel, where it says, through these stories, Jesus speaks to us this day, and he says, I have come to fulfill Isaiah's dream. I have come to bear your infirmities. I have come to be wounded for your transgressions. I have come to bless your life with the blessing of God. You may not want my blessing. You may wish to condemn me. You may wish to kill me. Very well, have it your way. Push me out of the world and onto a cross. I will go through the cross to bless you. And I will go through hell itself to bless you. I have come to give my life as a ransom for many. Now it is up to us to carry on. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Made alive with God in Christ, we pray for the church and those in need and all of God's creation. Holy One, who comes to serve your people, transform us into servants and make us instruments of your will, so that your justice and peace may be accomplished. Inspire the work of your servants, artists, authors, teachers, preachers in the church. Use their gifts to proclaim your goodness to those who long to hear. O Lord, hear our prayer. Accompany the physicians and researchers and relief workers who search to eradicate the preventable diseases such as malaria and Ebola, bring forth fruit from their cooperative efforts. O Lord, hear our prayer. We ask that you ease the burdens resulting from illness and sickness and mend the brokenness in their lives. Be with those who suffer and make your people whole. We ask that you be with Doug Cantrell, who is hospitalized at this time, and any others who may be or will be. Walk with them each day. We remember those that we list in our prayer concerns, that they too might be remembered. Becky, Jerry, Danielle, Lois, Joe, Terry, Elsie, and Billy. Bring them to wholeness in their lives. O Lord, hear our prayer. We remember saints led by your Spirit. Give us Christ's spirit of obedience while you continue the work of making all things new. Gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God. Remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30.